Thank you for joining me in episode 234. In order to defeat any enemy, we must understand them. In military parlance, that would be counterintelligence. The enemy I speak of are those pushing the climate agenda. This is what they're hanging their hat on to change the way in which we all live. This is their new world order. This is something that Al Gore has referred to as a wrenching transformation of the economy that these broad-minded thinkers, these know-it-alls, these Marxists believe must take place. They're using the climate agenda. Now, in episode 233, I began a new series sharing with you key components from my book, Climate Cult, Exposing and Defeating Their War on Life, Liberty, and Property. In episode 233, I showed you how this climate agenda and the environmental movement at large is really run like a cult. They draw people in with scary rhetoric and scenarios of doom, and then they promise them a utopia. So that's in episode 233. In episode 234, we're going to be talking about the roots and resolve of this movement. I want you to understand their physical, the philosophical origins. I want you to understand why they loathe capitalism and also life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and what they plan for the United States of America. I want to take you back to the 1800s. Everyone's heard of Karl Marx, of course, and I write at length about Marx in the book Climate Cult, as I have in all my books. But I'm also going to share with you something that Friedrich Engels said. This is Friedrich Engels, Marx's writing partner, and the guy who really brought discipline to Marx's life and funding into Marx's life, etc. But even in the 1800s, he realized that a very significant way in which they could attack capitalism, and especially the American virtues of life, liberty, and property, would be through proposing environmental calamity that would come about because of capitalism. Take a look at this quote. And by the way, in the book, I use primary source documentation wherever possible. So if I'm going to comment, if I'm going to opine, I try to do so based on primary source documentation. Here's an example of that. Friedrich Engels said this: "But inexorably, the time will come when the declining warmth of the sun will no longer suffice to melt the ice thrusting itself forward from the poles, when the human race crowding more and more about the equator will finally no longer find even there enough heat for life." Friedrich Engels was essentially saying that capitalism and industrialization would eventually bring about a shift in climate so great that the warmth of the sun would fail and we would become a ball of ice that would be uninhabitable. Friedrich Engels said that. I want to pivot for just a moment to Karl Marx. Karl Marx's first life goal while he was in college was to liquefy Christianity. His guiding philosophy is this: the theory of communists may be summed up in the single sentence, the abolition of private property. Now, where do I find that quote from? That's from the Communist Manifesto. This is what Karl Marx believed. This is what Friedrich Engels believed. Karl Marx's conclusion was that the problems of modern society are all ascribed to capitalism. What you're about to see is a series of players, all direct disciples of Karl Marx, who believed, just like today's environmentalists, capitalism is the problem and a better world is possible without it. Marx's disciples were determined to use the environment to attack capitalism. Now, I want to introduce you to a character who literally grew up knowing Karl Marx. This is a man when he was a child. Karl Marx used to carry him around on his shoulders. Their families were close friends. They were fellow travelers. They were all organized collectivists or socialists or communists. The terms can be interchanged. Now, again, we throw in the term progressive. It's all the same stuff. It's Marxism, classic Marxism. So this guy became a PhD, who was a true believer in Marxism. And he was using his study to fulfill Marx's wishes to change the world. His name is Edwin Ray Lankester. And here's what he said. Humans are the insurgent sons of nature. This is a guy who, like Marx, loathed humanity, thought humanity was a burden to the planet. Only the elites should be allowed to call the shots, and the lesser-minded should be fewer in number. He called humans the insurgent sons of nature. Their capitalism, their industrialism, their want for a better life was ruining the planet. Again, direct disciple of Karl Marx. Let's continue. This is Arthur Tainsley. Tainsley was taught by Lankester. Tainsley was the guy, if you can believe this, Tainsley was the guy who coined the term ecology. He brought forth this new term because he thought this would be a great term to use to show how capitalism could destroy the planet. He said this, "I am deeply concerned with the destructive human activities of the modern world. Ecology," he said, "must be applied to conditions brought about by human activity." This is a guy who is essentially another direct disciple of Karl Marx, coining the term ecology. Of course, eventually ecology became known as environmentalism. But ecology was going to be their hook to bring people into the fold. The capitalists, the industrialists, America is ruining the planet. Oh, but wait, there's more. This is Charles Elton. Elton was taught by Tainsley. He introduced something called invasion ecology to go after capitalism and industrialism and the United States of America at large. He wrote this, "It is not just nuclear bombs and war that threaten us. There are other sorts of explosions, and this book is about ecological explosions." You see, Charles Elton basically set the scene for all of these writers who would draw so many into the cult. For example, Rachel Carson. She's the author of Silent Spring. This is the classic that launched the environmental movement. That's on one of the more recent book covers from Silent Spring. Again, this was a book written in the 60s, and it garnered the attention of so many, and it helped launch the modern-day environmental movement. But she said this, "The road we have long been traveling is deceptively easy, a smooth superhighway on which we progress with great speed, but at its end lies disaster. The other fork of the road, the one less traveled by, offers our last, our only chance to reach a destination that assures the preservation of the earth." Rachel Carson's book, as well as a book by Paul Ehrlich, who was a founder of Earth Day, set up the stage for Earth Day at large, April 22nd, 1970. Since then, we've been in a full-blown indoctrination process in our schools. Essentially, three generations now have been raised to believe that the Earth's in peril, the climate's ruined, and it's all because of you. You. Because the modern-day environmentalist, just like Karl Marx, loathes humanity. Let me continue. You have to realize, and I talk about this at length in Climate Cult, Rachel Carson's mindset, her guiding philosophy, really stemmed from Karl Marx. Marx said this in 1867, "The more a country starts its development on the foundation of modern industry, like the United States, for example, the more rapid is its process of destruction." Again, scare tactics employed to draw people into the cult. Now, I should just stop for a moment. Has there been gross pollution from industrialization? Absolutely. In fact, it's still going on in China to this day. Go if any of you have ever traveled to India, I mean, the smog is horrendous. But in the United States of America, we've done something wonderful. We've cleaned up our messes. We have shown the world, if they want to listen, how to do industry in a clean and responsible fashion. It can be done. But in the mind of Marx, it could never be accomplished. In the mind of Engels, no way. And even fast forwarding to Rachel Carson, who set the stage for the modern day environmentalist today, it's impossible. Why do they say it's impossible? Because they loathe capitalism. And as Marx just said, they have a big problem with the United States of America as well. Now let me take you to a person who, in my book, Climate Gate, my first book, I refer to as the Green Giant. This is Vladimir Lenin. Oh, by the way, born April 22nd, 1870. We'll talk about that in just a second. But he's the founder of Soviet Russia. He was a devout student of Karl Marx. He was a devoted ecologist. And, oh, here we go. The first Earth Day, April 22nd, 1970, occurred on his centennial. Now, the founders of Earth Day would tell you, oh, that's just a coincidence. But I write extensively, and I include a lot of this writing in the book Climate Cult. Vladimir Lenin was an environmentalist's environmentalist. You know, during his brief reign, he took over Russia, started the Soviet Union, but during his very brief reign of 7 years, millions of people died, many of them by starvation. The country was in chaos. And during all of this turmoil, what was Lenin doing? He was writing these lengthy papers on preserving the environment. His own people are perishing, and he's writing papers on, we've got to stay out of the forests. The forests belong to the earth. His people were perishing, and he's more concerned about the environment. He was an environmentalist. So that's why I always contend the founders of Earth Day will not admit that to this day. But April 22nd, Vladimir Lenin's birthday. Environmentalists, environmentalist. All you have to do is read his many papers, and I have many excerpts in Climate Cult. Now, I should just let you know that the founders of Earth Day were all fellow travelers with Marx, and I believe they thought some pretty good things about Lenin, too. And they said some wild stuff, total epic fails. Here's Dennis Hayes, Earth Day co-founder, writing in 1970, "It's already too late to avoid mass starvation." Yeah, no one ever calls these people out on their fake prophecies. Here's another one. This is from another Earth Day founder, Senator Gaylord Nelson, Democrat, Wisconsin. This guy was a radical environmentalist. He said in 25 years, writing this in Look magazine, 1970, in 25 years, somewhere between 75 and 80% of all the species of living animals will be extinct. Another epic fail. Here's another one for you. Between 1980 and 1989, some 4 billion people, including 65 million Americans, will perish from changes to the atmosphere, which would cause mass starvation. This is Paul Ehrlich, Earth Day co-founder, professor emeritus, Stanford University, writing in The Progressive in 1970. You know, isn't it interesting? The mainstream media never calls these fools out for these ridiculous failed prophecies. Why? Because the mainstream media is their guardian. They are their mouthpieces. They are the ones taking orders and spitting out the agitprop. And when I say agitprop, let's go to the founder of all agitprop, and that would be Karl Marx himself. Because Karl Marx does not want you to know the history of anything, let alone the environment. And this is something I'm going to be talking about in not the next episode, but probably episode 236. It'll be a great primer on the temperature record and CO2. In fact, I would highly encourage you, if you're a homeschooler, or if you have kids in junior high and high school, and you want them to understand the truth on temperature and CO2, I'll do it in a very rudimentary fashion so that people can understand it. But the history of our temperature record, the history of CO2 has just been blotted out. But that's in keeping with the mindset of Marx. This is something Karl Marx said in a book called The Holy Family, chapter 16, written in 1845. He said this: history does nothing. It possesses no immense wealth, and it wages no battles. And just as today, the environmentalist, the climate change agendist, does not want you to know the history of the Earth's climate. Because if you were to become enlightened on the Earth's climate, you would realize where we're living right now is actually one of the cooler times on planet Earth. Also a time with less CO2 than in past periods. At the end of the day, the climate agenda can really be summed up in a single sentence, which was penned by Karl Marx in 1849. The theory of communists may be summed up in the single sentence, the abolition of private property. At the heartbeat of the climate agenda and the environmental movement at large is the abolition of private property. And when I say private property, I'm talking about not just the physical, but the intellectual as well. That's why they don't, in our schools today, they don't teach you how to think. They teach you what to think. It's their property, their intellectual property being fed into your brain. So we'll talk about that a little bit more in the next segment. I want to get into the differences between Marx's theory and John Locke's theory of life, liberty, and the pursuit of owning property. And then that'll be episode 235. Episode 236, I'll provide a tutorial, something very basic for you, so that you can understand how tarnished the temperature record is, and also realize that carbon dioxide and more carbon dioxide is actually a good thing. In the meantime, thank you for your support. I appreciate you. I hope you'll purchase a copy of Climate Called as soon as you're able. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast wherever you may be listening or watching on YouTube and Rumble. God bless you, my friends. Until next time.